Board Game Bros.
Hello, listeners.
Hey.
It's another episode of the Board Game Brothers podcast. I'm Jeffrey Craig.
And I'm Matthew Craig.
We're brothers in real life.
And game designers in real life.
And this is our podcast where we talk about board games. So it's a regularly scheduled weekly episode. And today we are going to talk about one board game. We're going to talk about how to play it, the strategies in the game, and we're going to talk about how it was designed. And Matthew, what game are we talking about today?
We are talking about Camelup, specifically the second edition, designed by Stefan Bogen and published in 2018 by Eggertspiel, but the original edition was published in 2014 by Eggertspiel. And notably, the original edition won the 2014 Spiel des Jahres.
Oh, very cool. It's a Spiel winner.
Yeah.
All right. So just to give a short description, short-ish description on what Camelup is about. In Camelup, players play as spectators at a camel race through the desert, looking to get the most gold over the course of the race by betting on which camel will be in first and which will be in last. Five camels of different colors start near the starting line, and a black and white camel start near the finish and move in the opposite direction. When a player takes a ticket, they roll a random die, and whichever camel color matches the die, then moves the number of spaces shown on the die. If the camel lands on a space with another camel, they are placed on top of that camel. If a camel has other camels on top of it when it moves, those camels are moved along with them. Each round, or leg, as it's called in the game, players take turns performing a single action until five camels have had their dice drawn and have moved. Players' actions include taking a ticket to move a camel, collecting a betting card for the camel you think will be in first at the end of the leg, making a guess for which camel you think will win the race, making a guess for which camel you think will be in last at the end of the race, and placing a desert tile on the track to influence the movement of the camels. At the end of every leg, each player who took a ticket gets an Egyptian pound, which is the currency in this game that you're trying to collect. Players who made correct bets for the leg get the corresponding reward in pounds. Players who made incorrect bets lose a pound, and the dice are added back to the pool to start the next leg. At the end of the game, the pounds are awarded and subtracted from players who made correct and incorrect guesses on who they thought the first or last place camels would be, and the player with the most money at the end of that wins. So that is Camel Up, the gist of it. So let's get a little bit more in detail on how it is played and the strategies in Camel Up.
Right. So it is important to note that, so at the core of this game, it is a betting game where you are trying to figure out the highest probability that your investments will give you pounds and that you won't lose pounds. Because of this, you usually do not want to be the one to roll the first two or three dice. Because if you do that, the person on your left and all the other players in that extension will have more information to make smart bets that will pay off than you do.
Right. So, to go a little bit more into detail on the movement of the camels in this game. So we mentioned in the description that, in the short description, that when you roll a die, the die will have a color that corresponds to a camel, and that camel will move a number of spaces. They land on a camel, then they land literally on the camel. They get placed on top of it. And if they have other camels on top of them, they're taken along with them. But then there's also these desert tiles that are in the game that will influence a camel's movement.
Right. Each one has two faces. On one face, if a camel lands on the tile, it will move them forward and you'll get a pound. And on the other face, if a camel lands on the tile, it will move that camel backward one space and you get a pound.
Mm-hmm. Right. And if the camel would move forward and there is a camel in the next space, then they get placed on top. But if a camel would move backwards, and this is the only instance where this happens, the camel is placed at the bottom of a stack if there's a camel behind them when they're forced to move backwards.
Right. And it's important to note that when camels are in a stack, the camel that is the highest is the furthest ahead in terms of placement.
Right.
Then the one below it, then the one below it. Yeah.
And then the other thing that will influence the camel's movements is the black and white camel, which start at the end of the race and go backwards. So there is one die that both of those camels share. It's a gray die, and half of the faces are white, half of the faces are black. And if both camels are are on the track and neither have any camels on top of them and they are not on top of one another, then whichever color you roll, that's which camel moves. But then once, if one of them has camels on top of it or one of them is on top of the other one, then regardless of what color face you roll, you move the camel that is either carrying camels of the colors at the start of the race or is on top of the other camel.
Right. It's also worth noting these will
carry camels backwards.
Right. It's also worth noting that each die is a D6 that has faces numbering 1 to 3. Mm-hmm. So 2 ones, 2 twos, 2 threes. And other than the black and white camel, which share a die, every other camel has one die of its color in the pool. Mm-hmm. So they will only be able to move once in a given leg.
Right, because you to move the camels, you take a ticket, you pick a die. There's like a special pyramid mechanism that will dispense one rolled die for you. So you dispense the die and you move whatever camel corresponds, and then you set that die aside. So that color die can only be rolled the one time, and that color camel can only be moved the one time, unless it's moved with other camels as part of their movement.
Right.
So, there's a lot of ways that a turn can go because the order that the camels move and how far they move and whether or not they land on desert tiles or whether or not they land on other camels, can put the game into very different states. At the end of a leg than it was at the beginning of a leg.
Right.
Like the camel in first will not often be in first at the end of that leg just because so many different things could happen to that camel.
Right. Though after about the third die is rolled, it's pretty safe to start making bets because mm-hmm. at this point, the number of possible camels to roll has obviously gone down by 3. But additionally, that means that the number of different camels that can be ahead is definitely lowered because
mm-hmm, right.
3 of them are guaranteed to stay in place, except if they're on top of a camel. But even then, you know, like they're guaranteed right. to be ahead of the camel below them.
You can generally assume that if a camel is like 2 or 3 spaces ahead of another camel that would land on top of it and usurp its ranking or pass it up and usurp its ranking, it's generally safe to bet on that camel
right.
if it, 3 dice have already been drawn.
Right. I actually have a quick like flow chart here.
Okay.
So it's usually safe to bet on a camel that is in the top 3 if its die hasn't been rolled.
Mm-hmm.
And it can make 2, it can make first or second because second still gives you 1 pound in 2 out of 3 chances on the die. So like if it's either 1 doesn't put it in second or first, but 2 and 3 does, I would mm-hmm. say that's a pretty safe bet. And then the fewer die faces or the fewer outcomes on the single die that can put it in second or first, the less likely I would bet on it. And mm-hmm. then if it is reliant on another camel to move, if the camel it needs to move on would move it ahead in less than all of its rolls. So like if there's a chance it doesn't work, then I wouldn't bet on it. Basically, you want to have a 2 out of 3 chance is what I'm getting at.
Gotcha. Two out of three is what you're looking for.
Yeah.
And that could be like 2 out of 3 on its own die or 2 out of 3 between its own die and another die.
Yeah. You don't need to know like super duper probability math.
Mm-hmm.
I would say just, yeah.
You're just looking for like 2 out of 3 on most, if not all of the dice that are remaining in the pool.
Yeah.
If you have a 2/3 chance that any given die rolled in the pool will put a given camel in first or second, then it's a safe bet.
Right. But even then, if you don't know what to bet, then putting down your desert tile is really good.
Well, I want to take a second real quick just to go back over the betting.
Oh, right.
Because
yeah,
you
sure.
started. Because we're talking about like when it gets to a safe position to bet. But you were mentioning at the beginning of this strategy portion that you don't want to be the person to take the third ticket because that sets up your opponents
right.
for making safe bets. So I just wanted to reiterate that now that listeners have context.
Oh, yeah. Also, we should mention the way the betting tickets pay out is for each of them, if they're in first, it will give you an amount of pounds that's pretty good. If they're in second at the end of the leg, then it'll give you 1 pound. Anything else, it will make you pay 1 pound. You lose a pound.
We should also quickly mention that there's the five colors of camels. There's five camels that have
betting color, tickets. Yeah.
Betting tickets and everything. There's blue, red, green, yellow, and purple.
Yes. And but there are four betting tickets for each camel, and it's first come, first serve, because the first one that is taken will give the person who took it 5 pounds if the camel's in first. The one underneath it, the next one, gives them 3 pounds. And then the last two both will give the person who took it 2 pounds if the camel's in first.
Right. So but also, you went to bet soon,
yeah,
in order to get the most money.
You can take multiple betting tickets of the same camel, though. So,
yes,
you know, a 3 and a 2 can also be a 5.
Right. So if you've got a good you could get really far ahead
and go 5 and
get both a 5 and a 3.
Yeah. Or even a 5 and a 2. Even. Yeah.
Right. So you want to take these bets when you think you've got a good read, maybe a little bit sooner than that, just because in this game you are rewarded way more than you're penalized.
Yeah. If you think about it, the penalty for getting a wrong bet is offset by rolling the dice once.
Mm-hmm.
So it's usually pretty safe to even just take a 5 for even the top 4 that are currently there.
You could also think of it like, if you take the difference between taking the first bet and the second bet is 2 coins, but versus the taking a wrong bet is just 1 coin difference.
Yeah.
So you're better off taking the first bet in like every case when you have got a good clean read on it. Or not right. even a clean read, but when you've got some sort of a read on it,
yeah,
being quick on that is it rewards you more than being sure and taking second.
Exactly. Okay, so talking about desert tiles, these are usually, I think, the best thing to do turn one.
Absolutely.
Because they don't impact the board and they don't lose you any points. And I think, personally, early game, always put it at the -1 space.
I think at most points in the game, you want to put it at the -1 space. Right, unless you are trying to push one camel ahead. And even then, it's not a science. It's not guaranteed.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you are ahead, then put it on the +1 space so that you can push the game closer to the end.
Oh, that's good point, yeah.
But otherwise, putting it at -1 means that the camel has a chance of landing on it multiple times.
Right.
Which means you can get more than 1 point out of it. Whereas if you push it ahead, then it's almost guaranteed to just get 1 point at most. Granted, the camels that move backwards could move it backwards onto the behind the space, but even then.
I think it's also important to place your first desert tile, if you can, towards the middle of the race or between the middle of the race and the end of the race, because that's the greatest chance that it'll get hit multiple times. There's like the most activity in that place, just because that's where the pack of camels meets up with the white and black camels most often.
Right.
So there will be a lot of back and forth movement in that area, and having your ticket there or having your desert tile there to collect all that money from all that movement that happens there is important.
Right. I would specifically say between the 7th and 9th spaces on the board, because for one thing, during setup, you randomly determine whether each camel is on the 1st, 2nd, or 3rd space of the track, or for the black and white ones, the
last or second to last,
camels can start stacked up this way. It's pretty likely that they will, so putting your tile sort of near the middle, 7 to 9, means that it's still likely that two camels that are stacked up will land on your space, one of them will, because 3 and then 3, if you take, for example, so that like the one on the bottom moves and then the one on the top moves, or some variant of that. Yeah.
It's also important really quick to put your desert tile quickly, because desert tiles have to have at least one space of clearance from the next desert tile.
Right.
And if somebody places their tile two spaces away from another tile, that's a lot of spaces that are being taken away from other players' options. So being able to claim those spaces early is very important.
Right. I would say that if you get a chance, put your desert tile near the center of the track, two spaces away from another one.
Mm-hmm.
Just to harass people. Not harass, but like, you know, claim your territory. Make it so nobody else can take that territory.
It should also be mentioned, just to give a clear vision, that there's 16 spaces on the track.
Yeah. Also, you can move your tile as an action. You can move it and flip it over, or both.
Right. Yeah. So if you're in if it's during a leg, and you want to like take a waiting turn because you don't want to be the one to take like the third ticket, then moving your tile might be an option that you can take just to prolong the inevitable.
Exactly. For the overall winner and overall loser, I think it's really important to get cards there early, because again, you lose one if you're wrong. You lose 1 pound if you're wrong. But if you're right, then it goes in the order of who first placed the correct card down. And the first place gets 8 pounds. And then I think from there it's 7, or is it 5?
No, it goes from 8 to 5.
Right.
I think it goes 8, 5, 4, 3, 2.
I think so. So that means that, you know, if you put one down, it's either -1 point or +8 points. And if it is -1 point and you put another one down, then that's still +7 points if you're first.
Yeah. And I mean, you want to be first because the difference between first and second is 3 points. So that means you can make 2 incorrect guesses and then finally the correct guess, and you can still be better off than the person who makes the second correct guess.
Right. And you do only have one card for each color, except for black and white, of course, that you can put on these spaces. Right. And so, I mean, like, after leg one, you might have a pretty safe bet for overall last or overall first. But I wouldn't put more than one card in each place before the end of leg two.
Right, because if you put a card in last, then that means you can't put that card in first.
Exactly.
And so there's a chance that you just cut yourself out from getting any points here. And this is the place where a single action will give you the most points.
Yeah.
So it's kind of important to do that if you're trying to maximize your points per action.
Exactly, yeah. Let's see. I have one last point of strategy.
Okay.
Which is that if there are 2 dice left and you are ahead in points, it's still good to roll because it gets the round done.
I think it's in general, if you're ahead, it's good to roll.
Yeah, because rolling advances the game, makes it more likely to end, and gives your opponents less chances to get, like, the betting tickets for free points.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're behind, then, like, you know, just getting multiple betting cards is still good.
Yeah. Even if there's a chance that they're wrong, even if it's a slight chance that you won't win, again, the bonuses are greatly outweigh the penalty.
Right.
So it's your only option
right.
of pulling ahead is making crazy bets.
Though notable is that the points you get for getting a second place betting card is the same as rolling. So I think most of the time there's not much of a point to getting a second place that's guaranteed over rolling the dice.
If you're behind, because
right.
I mean, well, if there's a chance that second place could be in first place, if you're right. behind and there's a chance that
that's,
second could be
first. That's why I said guaranteed second.
Sure.
Because, in that case, everybody else is getting a chance to get 1 point as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. I would have one more point of strategy, and that is to be extra vigilant of the desert tiles that move pieces backwards.
Mm-hmm.
because they're the only case where it will put a camel at the bottom of a stack. And right. A lot of tricky things can happen with the order of camels, because the camel in first is the one at the top of the stack, and the camel in second is the one beneath that camel, if not behind that camel on the track. So being placed at the bottom of a stack could put a camel in first all the way to last in some cases. In most cases, it'll put it in like third or fourth.
Yeah.
So that's a really big upset that can happen to, you know, there's a camel that looks like they're clearly in first, and then, you know, everybody buys the betting tickets for that camel, and then they move on to a negative space, and then they get tucked under a bunch of other camels.
Right. I think
so.
Oh, I was going to say, I think more of a general rule of thumb is that stacks are very volatile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But definitely don't let those things slip past you.
Yeah.
The minus one things. Okay, so let's talk about the design of the game.
All right. Wow, we went through that first part really quickly. So
I mean, it's a relatively simple game. I think the description took a little bit long, just because you just need to be aware of how the camels move,
yeah,
and what you do as actions. But the strategy, it's a simple game because it's just like camels. There's a random probability of how the camels will move, but that probability becomes predictable after some time. So
yeah, make
bets when it's predictable, and then hold your lead.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I mean, most Spiel winners are pretty simple in that regard.
Yeah, Spiel is an award for
family
games. They are family games, right? I mean, interesting games, family games with a bit of complexity to them, but family games nonetheless.
Yeah. Okay, so
yes, design.
There's a reason I wanted to cover this, and it is because of component design.
Okay.
So, are you okay with starting here?
We could start there.
Yeah. So, first of all, generally, there's about five like pillars or focus points that you can design a game around. A lot of times, like, this is how people will start with ideas, is like mechanic, theme, like a message if you're trying to get something across, a play pattern, or component. And Camel Up definitely mixes the component, theme, and mechanic together, but it seems like the component's the big focal point.
Right,
specifically the camels, because they are like these 3D, like resin sort of pieces resin that stack up. Yeah,
yeah.
And for one thing, these like the idea of a camel racing game alone can sell the game. You know, it's a nifty concept, kind of funny,
mm-hmm.
kind of a you know just
yeah. You know, camels are kind of goofy looking animals.
Yeah.
And then you're having them race.
Exactly. And but so the camels, the fact that they stack up, we mention a lot how it adds to like the probability and the sort of stuff like that. It adds this like intuitive twist that, you know, carrying other camels, it makes sense in like the context of looking at them stack up like that. And it adds just a level of depth and layers to the outcomes and probability that mean that like the math is a little harder, but it also adds like a lot of surprise endings and makes it so a lot of the decisions aren't super clear cut,
mm-hmm.
which I think is good for a game that's about betting.
I have in my notes about the game design that this game has like the perfect balance of like predictable probability and surprise outcomes.
Yeah. Also, a lot of those surprise outcomes can be very, like, they can really stick out because of the fact that the camels stack up. Like, mm-hmm. we've had games that I think have had five camels stacked up, which is really funny to see, but also just is really memorable.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to share a little anecdote that when I first heard of the game, I saw it being played and saw a stack of camels, and I was like, I really want to know what that game is. Because mm-hmm. I want to know what game involves stacking up these little camel pieces. So, like, when you look at them, it personally, at least, it made me want to play the game. I think a good component design around is something that makes you want to play with it, almost like a toy, mm-hmm. in a way.
Mm-hmm. So I mean, it seems like stacking is like some kind of primal source of joy when interfacing with an object. Like,
yeah,
if you ever play Dungeons and Dragons with people, there's always somebody or multiple people who will stack their dice,
right?
When they're kind of bored, people just like stacking things for some reason.
Also,
and so this is a game about stacking.
Yeah,
that's it. I mean, it has nothing to do with how good you are at stacking, right, which is probably for the best. It's not a dexterity game,
but stacking is a natural part of the gameplay.
Uh-huh.
I will say it adds a level of three-dimensionality, I don't know, but it adds this third dimension aspect that a lot of games don't have, just by, like, you know, going upward.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that definitely makes it stick out and gives it a little bit of a flair. You know, it's not just moving things across a track. It's moving things across a track, but they also get really high up.
Mm-hmm.
It adds this, like, motor, physical world element that's pretty cool. So, I mean, like, the camels...
Just to say one more thing about the camel theme. The pieces had to be camels just because the hump is the thing that rests between the legs. The notch between the legs fits over the hump of the camel. That's how these things interlock together. So that they're a little bit sturdier.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the theme comes after the component design in this case.
True, yeah. Yeah, it's... I mean, like, it's definitely a component meant for the game built around it. And I think the fact that, like, it has this, like, really sellable, marketable, like, easy to pitch to somebody to just make them interested in playing it is really good. I do also want to say that the mechanical pyramid is really practical.
Mm-hmm.
This is less of a, like, super fun mechanic, I mean, component, but it is really useful, having, like, a built-in almost dice tower.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Although, the dice, you have to flip the pyramid, you have to pick up the pyramid and flip it upside down if you actually want to shake the dice that are inside of it, because there's like a little channel that the dice will fall into when they're ready to be dispensed. And if you're holding the pyramid upright, you know, with the point at the top and shaking it, there's a little chamber at the top where the rest of the dice are held. They're getting shooken up, but the die that's fallen into that channel that's ready to be dispensed does not move, because the channel's only big enough to, like, hold the die.
It's kind of like a gumball machine in that regard.
Yeah, well, I guess, but you don't really shake gumball machines, but if you just shake the thing upright, the die at the bottom is going to have the same outcome that it had when you picked the pyramid up. So I don't know what I'm trying to say with that. It's just, maybe that's just an observation when you're playing the game. Like, there's no point to shaking the pyramid unless if you actually want to randomize everything, you need to flip it upside down.
Yeah,
maybe that's like a thing about the component where it's not intuitive.
Right. Yeah, I was gonna say that is true. Mm-hmm. That didn't come to me at first, that, like, wait, it doesn't actually randomize if you're holding it upright.
Yeah, you have to flip the pyramid over, which, if you're in the business world, may have some meaning to you. That, but in this game, it's just an intuitive thing. But that's a small tick against an otherwise really great component. In the original edition of the game, the pyramid was made out of cardboard that you had to fold together and interlock with tabs. And the plastic version is a strict upgrade to that.
Right, really nice. Sturdy. Haven't had any problems so far.
Although it looks like in the cardboard version, the mechanism that released the die, it wasn't as secure as the plastic version, because the plastic version has, like, the release mechanism also has a catch that prevents more than one die from being dispensed at a time. The original version doesn't look like it has that catch, but the releasing mechanism is at the base of the chamber at the top of the pyramid. So shaking the pyramid while it is sitting upright actually works in the original version of the game.
Oh, huh. That's weird. They inverted it.
Well, no, they added the channel.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. So, I wanted to go back really quick because we mentioned that the stacking of the camels and that mechanic in general can add to a lot of surprise situations where the movement of one camel can greatly influence the movement of the other camels to surprising effect regarding which camel's in first. I think the other thing that influences this part of the game and creates these surprise outcomes are the desert tiles.
Yeah.
And I think that the camels outshine the desert tiles, but the desert tiles have a lot going on with them and how they were designed and how they influence this game.
Right. Yeah.
Because I mean, like, the length of the track, I think, is determined by how these desert tiles work in some regard, because they have to be placed one space from another. So how much space do you give people to place these desert tiles down? So they have this mechanic that tucks camels under one another, and that complicates the board in a good way. And that option on the sides of the desert tile is the most optimal option for earning money at most stages of the game. So the game is influencing you to put the board in a complex state that makes it hard to guess the outcomes of the die rolls.
That's true, yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, the other side, the plus one phase, it simplifies the game even further because it makes the difference between like the state the space before it and the space after it. It just changes that up a little bit more. Or I guess it eliminates a space from the board. Essentially means the space in front of it and the space right that it occupies are the same space.
Uh-huh.
So it simplifies the rolls, but that's the less optimal strategy. So players are encouraged to put the board into interesting, complex states.
Yeah, for sure. That's definitely a good point that, like, the game wants you to make it sort of really hard to guess what's going on, but it also invites you to do so.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a trick.
And I mean, not to say, to go back to the beginning of this point, is that the board has only 16 spaces, which just seems to be a good number for making the most trafficked part of the board pretty prime real estate. You have to be very quick to go there. So the game encourages you to quickly put the game into a more complex state.
Yeah. And like I said, the fact that it's you'll pretty quickly realize that being the first to roll the dice isn't the best move. And as soon as one person places their minus one space desert tile, then you'll pretty also quickly see the impact of that. So it's very quick to show you, like, these are important. This isn't a good thing. This is a good thing to do.
Yeah.
And it lets you see that early, usually, so that you can, you know, adapt quickly.
So I have a point about the design that's just about the betting on a race genre of game that this is. And that is that it creates a whole lot of positive player experiences and very few negative player experiences.
Right.
And this might also partially just be due to the fact that the game rewards you for being right way harder than it penalizes you for being wrong. But the idea is that, like, a player's stake in the game is constantly changing. You're not just limited to the pieces that you control and that you own. Every piece on the game can be yours. And that leads to a lot of positive player experiences because you're just latching onto the thing that's in first in this game.
Right. I think in this case it's kind of like the luck doesn't need to be mitigated as much in this case because the game is about you making safe bets around the luck. It's almost like in other games where you roll dice to move stuff, bad rolls can feel really bad. But since you don't really care which one is in first or which one's moving until you've made that bet, that means that it becomes less about getting a good roll and more about predicting what good rolls there are, or even just like waiting to see what the rolls might do. Like,
I mean, even after you make a bet, it's just kind of fun to see how a race can be totally turned around.
Oh yeah, just
to stack in the desert tiles, even if that goes against what you bet on. I mean, you may even still have time to make a second bet too, which is nice.
Yeah,
I was gonna say, like, at multiple points during a round, you have multiple options to choose from when it comes to like where you place your bets and where you're placing your stake.
Yeah, and it like the fact that all of those can net positive is really important. It doesn't it doesn't feel bad if you get a wrong one. It doesn't, like you said earlier, it doesn't punish you for getting a wrong bet. It kind of makes it more inviting to openly diversify your bets early on, mm-hmm. which I think is good, that it doesn't make it such a stressful decision.
Yeah, and at some point, just any action in the game will just be an interesting action. A pleasant surprise.
Yeah. I want to talk about the differences between first and second edition, which is specifically the black and white camels.
Right.
So in the first edition, there were six camels instead of five. The white one.
There's five.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. I'm looking at the rule book now. There's five. Oh. It's blue, green, orange, yellow, and white.
Okay. So never mind. So in the first game, the white was part of the five camels.
Yes.
And there were no backwards moving camels. And correct. I've played both the first and the second edition. And what I noticed is in the first edition, there is a lot fewer times where the camel in last place will change, especially mm-hmm. if there's like a more than three space gap between them, because other than the minus one space desert tiles, there's no other force pushing them backwards. And likewise, if there's a camel that is more than three spaces in the lead, it's less likely that they'll get pushed back at all. Right. And especially if somebody decides to put a plus one space desert tile, it, you know, basically guarantees they're going to win that camel's going to win the race. The backwards moving camels add this like further force to push things back that make it less guaranteed that the game's decided early on by those rolls. Cause I mean, if you think about it, a game that's about betting loses its fun if the bet is guaranteed, like if it's a 100% bet, especially for a game that's about finishing a race. If you have that 100% bet like way before the race is close to ending, you're just kind of waiting around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think mathematically the backwards tracking camels do a lot in this game.
Yeah.
Especially like they punish large groups of camels when a large group of camels would be like a stack of camels is a very good thing for, you know, if from a camel's perspective, I guess a stack is very good because it gives a potential for one camel to move more than once during a turn. But then you add in these backwards moving camels and now the stack is bad because it could push a whole group of them backwards. And the camels that are grouped up together, like in consecutive spaces, are better than the camel that's alone towards the back because, again, they have the potential to move multiple spaces with multiple dice outcomes where the camel at the back, if they're more than three spaces away, there's nothing they can do to catch that pack.
Right. And, of course, again, the rules prioritize the backwards camels that are carrying other camels specifically for this reason. And also what's worth noting is in the original game, there were only the five dice. And there were still five times you roll dice, which means that the final die you roll is guaranteed to be one specific camel, which mm-hmm. more or less means that before that die is rolled, you are guaranteed to know what the first place camel is. There's very few chances where that last die will make that much of a difference. Mm-hmm. But I think that having the extra die in the pyramid in the second edition means that the dice being rolled and the order they come in is a lot more diverse and harder to rely on. Or even in the first edition, like, say you have in this order, you know, red, green, white, yellow, blue. And if red and green have all been rolled, you know that they aren't going to move from their spot. So blue might still be in last, but yellow and white, who are third and fourth, are likely to get ahead. You know, mm-hmm. because they still have to move and they can move in top of the other ones. So like even then, from just two dice being rolled, you have a very, very, very solid understanding of how the board's going to end up.
Yeah.
But like I said, this complicates things even more, which is good.
I'm looking at this first edition rulebook again, and I'd like to make a correction that you are actually right in assuming that the pyramid worked in an inverted way. The dice are stored in the base of the pyramid, and the release mechanism is towards the top. You flip the pyramid over in order to dispense a die, and you place it against the table because the height from the top of the pyramid to the release mechanism is the height of a die, and that prevents more than one die from being dispensed at a time.
Okay.
So yes, but it also means that if you shake the pyramid in any orientation, the dice will be mixed up.
Yeah. Let's see. I think the last like major point I want to bring up is that going back a bit to the desert tiles, you mentioned how like they are kind of overshined by the camels. It's mm-hmm. interesting to note that that's the only agency you have on the camels themselves.
Right.
And I don't know. I think it's interesting that it's also the only thing you actually place on the board. Everything else you take from the board. I mean, I guess you place the cards. Maybe that's a better way to put it, is that the things that you place on the board are much more important in terms of like payout and scoring and game stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I think that also is good because it puts this like clear divide between, you know, all the during the game stuff and the like really important objective stuff that, you know, it's given a certain weight because you are physically putting something there and leaving it there.
Mm-hmm. It also opens up a slightly different avenue for strategy, because if you place your bets early for which camels you think will be in first or last, then you can then use your desert tiles to make sure that that happens.
In a way.
Which is fun.
In a way.
It's not optimal for usage of desert tiles because that usually means placing your penalty tiles towards the back where only one or two camels have the chance to land on it. But it's using the plus one, the forward moving side of the tile, which is less effective than the penalty side of the tile.
Yeah, in a way, I was going to say it helps you from like getting punished for early bets on overall winner and loser. Mm-hmm. Just like, I mean, you can still do those and it might not work out just because of how the die roll.
Yeah, but we played a game and my negative one space side of the tile never got landed on when I was trying to keep the purple camel from moving forward. Right.
But it does give it, you it, just kept skipping over it does give you an element of interaction, mm-hmm. which is useful. Oh, and there's one more thing I wanted to say about the black and white camels.
Okay.
Bad, which is that this is more of an emergent thing than I don't know if it was like necessarily intentional, but it's nice that since they move backwards, they will often be out of the way when the game's almost over because they'll be on like the completely opposite side of the track, which is good because it doesn't prolong the game too much when you are right at the finish line.
Right.
I just think that's useful that like it does have a method to slow the game down, but it doesn't keep it from overstaying, or it keeps it from overstaying still by getting out of the way.
Right. It's good that it enters the game too at a middle point, because you start the game simple so that people can get, you know, their bearings on how the game is going to play out and how the game works, and they get a feel for everything. And then they're introduced, you know, partway through the game to start complicating things. And then yeah, they get out of the way when you want the game to end. It's very good timing.
Right. Yeah.
How those components work.
Yep.
Okay. Do you have anything else to say about the design?
Not that I can think of.
Cool.
Pretty short episode.
That's okay. It's a pretty simple game, but there's a lot of cool, interesting stuff that happens in this game, and I recommend it.
Yeah, definitely.
Matthew, can you recommend any similar games?
Ooh, I don't know. It's hard to say what other betting type of games there are. I don't know.
What about just racing games?
Racing games. I haven't played many racing games either.
Yeah, I haven't either. What was it? I think Jamie Stegmaier recently recommended one in a video, but
now is it Formula Day? Because everybody talks about Formula Day.
I don't think it was. I think it was something. It was a game where like on your turn, you did a thing and moved your car, but there was a chance that what you did moved everyone else's car or other players' cars as well.
Okay.
Like it was it seemed like everybody moved on everyone's turn. It's just you have the potential to move more.
Okay.
So it was about, you know, balancing the risks of moving other players when trying to move yourself the best distance.
Well, maybe look up Jamie Stegmaier's YouTube channel.
Yeah, on his YouTube channel. It was in his top 10 games that he posted recently to this episode, which was posted March 9th.
Yep.
Yeah, so maybe that's something for us. Maybe we should check out a couple more racing games and get our thoughts on that.
And we'll return to here.
Yep, and we'll return to here. Maybe this game is like a gateway game for racing games.
Or betting games. Kind of
or betting games, yeah, which are both genres in their own right. All right. Well, then that will be the end of our episode for Camel Up. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.
You can find all of our episodes on any podcasting platform, and you can follow us there to get it in your feed. You can go to our website, you can follow us on social media on Facebook and Twitter at BG Bros Cast. If you want to give us your thoughts, hit us up or just get notifications, little teasers for upcoming episodes.
Oh,
you can go to our website. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I actually would like to know your opinions as a listener, whether or not I should still do the teasers or announce the game in advance so that you can play it before we do the episode, like a book club style.
So, yeah, you can let us know on Facebook and Twitter your thoughts on that. You can go to our website, bgbcast.com, where we post all of our episodes and tag them if you're interested in finding an episode where we talked about a game that you enjoy. If you don't see the game that you enjoy and you want to hear our thoughts on it, go ahead and hit us up on social media and we will check it out, pretty much guaranteed.
Right. We just did an episode on a listener request.
Right. Our previous episode, Fury of Dracula, was listener requested. Let's see. You can find a link to our TeePublic account on our website, or you can just go directly there at teepublic.com/user/BGBcast. That's where we have our merch with our t-shirts with our logo on it, which is really, really cool looking. And you can rep our podcast by purchasing shirts there.
Right. And we'd love to know if there are any other types of apparel that you would like us to have our logo on for you to buy.
And then that will be it for BG Bros plugs. So let's hear Matt plugs.
All right. So first of all, I have been writing articles on the BGB Cast website under the episodes and articles tab. I believe the one I currently have up is over a specific niche of game design, that being Super Mario World ROM hacking. And I am currently in the process of writing my next article. Additionally, I stream on twitch.tv/twack. That's twitch.tv/twak. I stream usually from 10 or 11 a.m. Central Time to 2 or 3 p.m. Central Time. And lately, I have been speedrunning a game called Hob, but I also play a lot of roguelites and competitive games and other games that I can kind of continuously play, and also a lot of platformers for that matter. And also through there, you can find a Discord server in which you can message us and talk to us in there.
Yep.
Yep.
So that'll do it for us, and that'll do it for the episode. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.